Melissa, great to be here. I don't know how robust it's going to be, but I'm looking forward to the calls.
Lots to talk about. Lots of issues on Jacksonville's plate. But let's begin with the pension situation. Now, the city's Retirement Reform Task Force is looking at a couple of different solutions. Any scenario we're looking at, they're going to be recommending a tax increase of some sort to help the city whittle away this $1.7 billion unfunded pension liability for police and fire and city employees. As someone who worked to balance city budgets and dealt with these issues, what have been your thoughts as you watched this process unfold?
Well, first of all, Melissa, it is our number one issue in Jacksonville. It should have been resolved a long time ago, even perhaps before the present mayor took office. But it's been nearly 3 years, and while it's his number one priority, it really hasn't gotten to any kind of fine-tuning yet. We're getting close there now, I think, after 3 years. I thought it was his number one priority, but I continue to hear no new taxes kind of undermines everything else you want to do, and I don't see how you can avoid addressing this massive pension problem of $1.7 billion without funding coming from some source and everybody sharing in that issue. We all want to support our police and fire. There's no question, and unequivocally, we want the best out there, knowing that the number one issue for every elected official, every mayor, is the health, safety, and welfare of a community.
The other day, Mayor Brown's chief of staff, Chris Hand, joined the program and says that the mayor remains committed to not raising taxes on Duval County residents at a time when the jobless rate is higher than average, that he believes a way can be found to solve this without raising taxes. Do you disagree, or do you think that's possible?
I think it's a platitude that every politician likes to think. I don't think anybody should ever make that promise, even though we never raise taxes per se. You can call that garbage tax a tax. It's $96 a year, and that's always going to be with me. But you do the right thing. He said he's not going to raise taxes, but yet the city council, he gave an unbalanced budget to the city council last year and the past 2 years prior to that. And they had to raise taxes to keep libraries from closing, swimming pools from closing, parks from growing into forests, and as well as police and fire protection, adding new police officers, firefighters. And you can't have a quality of life or a quality city that you want for yourselves and your families without paying the piper. We have not raised taxes in I don't know how many years. Previous mayor's done a couple of them. But, you know, he can say he's not raising taxes. City council had to do it, because he gave him a 14% underfunded budget, and he doesn't veto it. So, in effect, he's raised it, but he had to do it through the back door and washing his hands of that quote-unquote sin. But the city council took the leadership on that, and that's a shame, because this is a strong mayor-form government, and the mayor should be providing that leadership. Now he's faced with the same dilemma here. There's no way he's going to get, in my judgment, away from finding some kind of a tax source to make up for that $1.7 billion shortfall in our unfunded liability for police and fire pensions.
And if you're just joining us, we're speaking right now with former Jacksonville Mayor Tommy Hazzouri. Lots of calls. We want your calls at 549-2937. You're a Democrat. Alvin Brown is a Democrat. You supported Alvin Brown in his run for mayor. What would you say to those listening to you now who might say, well, it's not really fair now that you're out of office to criticize someone who's on the hot seat?
Oh, I don't know. You can call it criticism. I live in Jacksonville. I want the best for my family. I want the best for this city. I want him to succeed, because if he succeeds as a mayor, the city's going to succeed. But right now, I supported him. It wasn't my first choice, but I used to kid and call him the accidental mayor. I'm not here to, you know, I understand if President Bush was the president, then he doesn't criticize President Obama. That's kind of a standard rule.
That's the presidential
and
tradition.
I think that's true for Mayor Peyton. Even though I know he has his own particular opinions. But, you know, I've been removed two or three terms now. Mayor Tansler, Mayor Godbold before me, they didn't hesitate, and I accepted that. I want to know how other mayors feel about what I'm doing, because it's a continuation of leadership. It doesn't stop with every mayor. You're going to get the problems of the previous mayor, but you're also going to get their successes, and you're going to build on those successes and eliminate those problems, and you move on. it doesn't matter if I'm a Democrat or Republican or independent. I look at myself, and I've been in the legislature. I've been as a school board member and, of course, as mayor, all from Mandarin, which is probably the most conservative area and maybe the hotbed for seedbed for the Tea Party, you know, in Jacksonville. I'm talking about the conservative vote. But they elect the person they think is going to do the job for them. And that's what I try to do, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. And that wouldn't keep me from voting for a Republican if I thought that they would do a better job. I want him to succeed. He can't get out of this. There's no exit for this pension problem without some kind of a tax coming up. And I think you're going to see it come to fruition when the task force makes their recommendations. It's not going to be through a JEA $40 million a year for the next 14-year
That was gift. One idea that came out of City Hall.
It's a tax. It's a rate increase, and it's the most regressive tax over even a property tax because 70% of the people in Jacksonville will have to have their rates increased, and they can't ill afford it. The middle class, the lower income, the apartment owners. And so I think the result's going to be is what the last thing I've been reading about. They'll probably, City Council will probably come up and, you know, based on the mayor's recommendation, or whether he does. And I think the council's going to make that decision. It's going to be with the millage increase, and then come back and take that millage increase out and put a vote up for a half-cent sales tax and generate the dollars that they need and move on.
And let me ask you, Mayor Hazzuri, how do you see these issues playing into what will dominate the discussion in the coming months as Mayor Brown seeks re-election? He will certainly face an opponent. The only question is who. How do you see that race shaping up?
Well, while he may enjoy good popularity, others do as well in the polls that you've seen. It's still very early. He can turn it around. But he's been pretty consistent in the no new tax thing, and it sounds good to the general public. But, you know, we don't want our potholes ending up becoming sinkholes. And that's what you're going to end up with if you don't pay the piper. Tampa, Miami, Orlando, especially Orlando and Tampa, in 1960, were basically like Jacksonville is today, but they knew what it would cost to give them that quality of life. Jacksonville's refused to do that. You know, we had the same, we had a pension issue, all of us have, but we put 20% in. We didn't, when everything got well, we didn't take some of that money that we were contributing to pensions and put it in into other one-time projects and find ourselves with only 6 or 7% funding of the pension system when we needed another 15%. And so as a result, now they're caught up with in a mousetrap, and it just passed the trash, and here it is. We're stuck with it today.
Yeah.
And now he has to resolve it. It's not his problem. He didn't initiate it, but he hasn't come up with the solution that should have been done, I think, in 2 years ago and not just before an election.
Well, lots of calls meanwhile as we discuss the city's most pressing issues with former Jacksonville Mayor Tommy Hazzuri. What are your questions? 549-2937. Let's begin with Robert in St. Augustine. Hey, Robert. Good morning. Happy Monday to you.
Hey, same to you. And thanks for having the show. I believe what is the probably the number one public health issue in Duval County, which was recently the a federally funded a survey of water quality put Jacksonville at number 10. Worst drinking water in the United States with traces of lead and arsenic in our drinking water. Now, my question is, you know, what does Mr. Hazzuri think would be a reasonable steps we could take towards improving this issue? Because it is most certainly a public health issue.
Robert, thanks for the call. Okay. Robert down in St. Augustine.
I haven't seen the report, Robert, that you're talking about, but you know, that's the problem. Unfortunately, the city has concentrated so much on one issue, the pension plan, no new taxes, that everything else has been kind of cast aside. And, you know, I had 4 years in office. We had a lot of issues to deal with, but we addressed those issues. We made certain promises and we kept them. I think every mayor, every governor, every president should try to fulfill those responsibilities as best as they can. They may not solve everything in their term or terms in office, but at least they have to move forward and show a concerted effort in trying to resolve a problem like you're talking about. I think the St. Johns River is another big issue. Our biggest asset is the St. Johns. Now they want to drain it and send it down, drain some of it, send it downstate.
So what about the dredging that the port wants?
That's another. What
are your thoughts on that?
I think we need to dredge our port, but in the same token. It's we're stuck with what Ron Littlepage has been writing about. What is it going to do to our water quality, to the quality of the environmental quality of the St. John's River? So it's a kind of a double-edged sword that you have to deal with. If you're trying to bring in more ships, if it's going to give us a guarantee and you don't have that guarantee, then we should move forward with it. But I think there are other issues that we have to address. And, you know, Jacksonville, about 10, maybe under the Delaney administration, President Clinton declared the St. John's River one of the nation's 10 best rivers, heritage rivers. And we've done nothing since then about it to recognize it, to acknowledge it, and to do everything we can. I would put today as much effort in our water quality in our St. John's River as I did with our tolls and with our odor that we had, if you truly want a quality of life.
If we have time, we'll talk about the prospect of tolls coming back to the area. I know you have some thoughts on that, but let's go back to your calls right now as we speak with former Mayor Tommy Hazzouri, 549-2937. Let's go to Howard down in Mandarin, speaking of Mandarin. Hi, Howard. Good morning.
Hi. Hey, good morning. This is Howard Royce. I really had a question and comment for Tommy. I think you did a great job on bringing the forefront of the pension and the $1.7 billion unfunded liability. But what I want to hear you talk about is our system obsolete? Really, the only defined pension plans left in the country are with government service, either federal government, state government, or city government. All of the corporations have went away from these defined benefit plans, and they go towards these modified 401k plans. And so is the way out of the unfunded liability is to modify the plan for what the citizens can afford to pay the workers in Jacksonville as well as the state of Florida?
I think they've looked at that, and they've discarded the 401k and other types of plans like that. I know the state now gives you a choice of the Florida pension plan, which, by the way, I chaired that committee when I was in the legislature for a number of years. Of the 12 years I was in office, we have practically 100% funded Florida retirement system today because of the right people in the right place. And over the years, we've made the right decisions from a policy standpoint to keep us from becoming like the police and fire pension fund is today. The thing you've got to deal with are those people who are in office today. And you can't take away the contract in which we made with them. That's a dilemma. And you have to honor that. They did it in good faith. We want to have the best police officers, just same way with our teachers. We want to have the best teachers, the best police officers, best firefighters, those who are every day out there trying to protect our health, safety, and welfare, educating our kids, putting out our fires, catching the crooks, doing the things that need to be done. But you're going to lose a lot of police officers, and they've already said that. And it's not some scare tactic. And that is an issue that they can address over the long haul. The big and most immediate problem now, notwithstanding other ideas like what you're talking about, which may be one of the considerations they need to consider, but that's not the job, really, of this task force today. The job is to find a solution to make up for that $1.7 billion.
And we're getting tweets from listeners. Lee tweets the show, "I agree with Mayor Hazzouri. You can't improve a city's quality of life without raising taxes. No one wants to dial 911 and be placed on hold." Meanwhile, we do have a lot of folks on hold. We want to get some more of you on the air. Let's go to James on the south side. Hi, James. Thanks for holding. Good morning, James.
Good morning. Thank you all for taking my call. I grapple with this situation because I guess this was something that was handed to the mayor. Wasn't his doing, but he's in a unique spot to show some leadership. And unless he breaks away from his ideological thinking about the no new taxes, he don't have a vision for the big picture. And taking care of the liability and funding the city services probably is the biggest thing on his plate right now. And he can grow this city in such a way if he have enough thinking and enough vision to go ahead and break his campaign promise, no matter how politically incorrect it might seem to some people, and fund these services and go ahead and do what's right. And it would take us forward, and we would progress so much as a city if he's on here to make the decision to be on board with what the task force trying to approve. Probably the 1 cent fare retail tax, probably would fund liabilities and also the city services. That's my take on it. Thank y'all for taking my call.
That's James down on the south side. We have calls from across the listening area. Let's go up to the north side. Selder on the north side is with us. Selder, good morning.
Morning, Melissa. Speaking plainly, I think the mayor's attempt to get this issue resolved without passing a tax, it's reasonable. Politicians need to learn to be creative, come up with other means of funding city affairs rather than just taxing the people into poverty. My opinion as well is that police officers and firefighters are employees to the city just as sanitation workers are. They deserve no more extra than any other city employee. They knew what the job entailed when they took it on. If they think they deserve more simply because they're doing something that they that someone else has determined to be extraordinary, they don't deserve that extra. They deserve no more than any other employee of the city. So there may be a need to reduce some of the benefits that they're receiving in order to fund the affairs of the city, rather than keep making these individuals who have been touted as heroes, who are really just employees of the city, just as sanitation workers and
all
others
right.
are.
And that Selder up on the north side. What about that? Tommy Hazuri.
Well, I can appreciate what you're saying, but, if you like hearing no new taxes, then you vote for whomever you would like. If you like your city to be at a standstill and not have to go to Green Cove for Little Detroit, you'll find Jacksonville like Little Detroit in the next 10 years. And I'm not trying to make fun of what's going on. It's not. It's a very serious thing.
Why do you see Jacksonville going the way of Detroit?
When I say that, and I say that with some qualifications, if we don't do what we need to do to move Jacksonville forward, to pay our $1.7 billion pension unfunded liability can double. It can other issues. The potholes, as I said earlier, can end up being sinkholes. You're not going to get your infrastructure taken care of. You're not going to be repairing your bridges and your streets. We passed a Better Jacksonville plan, and they said they'd have it paid off for 30 years, and they said they can do it in 15. They didn't even fund all of the projects that they had with the money that we voted for. And the courthouse, of course, absorbed a lot of those dollars at the expense of all these other infrastructure needs. It sounds trite, but it is true. You need to be prepared for the next generation and not your next election. And I think that you can say, well, he's right about no new taxes, but when you talk about the JEA and the $40 million on top of the money, the millions of dollars that they get today, you're talking about a new tax, because there's no way the JEA can give you $40 million a year for the next 14 years without having to raise rates. The bond houses lowering our rates as a result of that, and the downfall and the ripple effect that it's going to have on this community. And you talk about looking after the poor, the middle class, the low income, 70% of the people in Jacksonville are going to be impacted if you raise those rates. And that's what the mayor's been pushing. And he said he can do it without raising rates. He cannot do that.
Susie on the south side has some thoughts. Hello, Susie.
Hi. It really turns my stomach. And Mr. Hazuri, my kids grew up in your wife's classrooms, and I respect what you've done for our city, but I hear this tone, which is probably straight from House of Cards, in politicians, it's like a threat. If you want this, then go on ahead. But, I hear from a few other people that we don't feel that, what's the old saying? We never promised you a rose garden. Why should the entire city's citizens basically keep up with promises that were not part and parcel with? In other words, a lot of people are suffering. A huge amount of people are suffering. So why is it that we have to hold this? I understand contractual law. I have friends that were former federal prosecutors. But I just don't see why we have to say that this particular situation is golden. Things happen in life, and, they have to be absorbed by all. And I really do not understand that. And I heard this guy talking about the garbage workers, you see more garbage workers than you see police. And, you know, they're getting their pay differential for the risk that they're taking in their pay every week. Why should their particular retirement plan be held separate?
Okay.
So those are my thoughts.
Yeah, and that's Susie down on the south side. Thank you for the call, Susie.
Let me answer that. Yeah. And I appreciate it. I know if you children had my wife, and they, you know, she had a good teacher. let me say this. You can't put those two in the same category, the teachers, the firemen, the policemen. Their lives are at risk every day. You see more and more about the teachers around the country, and I'm not going to get into that. Police and fire, putting out a fire, you saw how many people got injured the other day trying to do that, jumping from a house, an apartment building. But I think you know all that. They're not punishing the police and fire by taking stuff away from them. We have an obligation, not just in contract. You know, if we're not good enough to give them a word and say, whether it's police, fire, or sanitation workers, whatever, I am a big public employee supporter. They're in a different pension plan. Their pension plan is fine, police and the city pension plan. They're in good shape, and they can be in better shape. Police and fire is not. It's not the fault of Alvin Brown, but it is the fault of him not being able to deal with the issue today. You can't keep saying it's somebody else. The thing is that prospectively now, for the new hires that you want to hire, and that's where you should be looking at it, because a lot of these policemen, a lot of the firefighters are all going to be retiring and are retiring now after 20 and 30 years, 25 years. So the new recruits that come on board, give them a different plan, give them a different salary schedule if you want. That's their job. It's not my responsibility. But let me say this. If you want to look at and compare Mandarin, where I live, where you live, I hear every day, well, you're doing this in Mandarin or Southside, but you're not doing it on the west side. You're not doing it on the north side. You're not doing it at the beaches. So that's not just a, you know, if you knew how they look at Mandarin as the all wealthy area of Jacksonville, and we know it's not true. We're getting people from all walks of life, and deservingly so. But I'd hate to disagree, but you're going to find this city in a bigger hole if we don't address the problem. The problem is here.
And
they need to solve that problem
and
now.
As we look at solutions, lots of people are emailing the show. Here's one from AJ. How many hundreds drive the Buckman Bridge daily who live in Clay County and are not paying taxes in Duval but use our roads? Why not create a toll or pass system, getting revenue for Duval County from people using the bridge? As they look at how to bridge this gap, what do your final thoughts on how you see this being resolved, whether it's with a half-cent sales tax or something else?
You're talking about the pension?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, if I had to guess today, based on what I've read, and maybe they come up with a whole new plan, the city council will end up getting different options. The mayor will make a recommendation, whether it's his recommendation or coming from the task force. I would guess that they're going to look at that at a millage increase. It's the only way they can do the half-cent tax. Look at a millage increase for the next year, which would generate enough money to start paying off the indebtedness of the pension fund, and then give the people a chance to vote on a half-cent sales tax, which would generate $68 million, and then use that money to replace that millage. Is kind of convoluted, but that's the way it would work. You pass a tax, but you can get that tax off pretty quickly if the people vote for the half-cent tax. And then the unfortunate part with all of this is by adding this tax, whether it's millage or the half-cent tax replacing the millage, what you're stuck with, unfortunately, is money that you could be using today for the classrooms, for the street repairs, for the police officers, for the firefighters, for your sanitation, your garbage pickup, and all the rest. So that's money that we could use in other areas that, unfortunately, we're going to have to use to resolve this pension crisis that we're in. I wish the mayor good luck. I thank you for your question, your concern. Nobody wants to add taxes. But the thing is, the police and fire, teachers included, have a different set of circumstances than ordinary city employees. You want to take care of your city employees, make sure they're in good shape, but you don't want to lose the ability to attract the best teachers in the case of the state. You don't want to lose the ability to attract the best firefighters and the best police officers because they're on the front line every day.
Former Mayor Tommy Hazzouri and former school board member, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, Melissa.